Hey, I'm Pastor Joel, and I just want to say thank you for downloading or streaming this message today. My prayer for you is that you're blessed by the content that you hear. As a church, our desire is to make disciples of Jesus, and we do that by helping people to trust and follow Him in every aspect of their daily life. So if this is something that blesses you, we just hope that you'll feel free to share this with others so that they might be encouraged and challenged by it as well.
Well, it was a normal day for two brothers who were fishing on the Sea of Galilee, but it wasn't going to stay normal for very long. There were two brothers, Simon, who we know as Peter, and his brother Andrew, who were going about their lives doing what they do all the time. It was the family business to be fishermen, and they were doing their best to provide for their family. But on this day, as they were throwing their nets out into the Sea of Galilee, something major was going to change in their life, because on this day, Jesus walks by. And as he does, he calls out to these two brothers, "Come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." There's going to be a radical life change that Jesus introduces to them. And in that invitation, we find the definition of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And so here at Grace Fellowship, if you're new with us, and we've had so many people over the summer and last winter late and those kinds of time seasons since we've been back in church, that we've had so many new people coming to our church, and maybe you've missed part of what the lifeblood of our church is. And so we're going to do a four-week teaching series that's just going to introduce everyone or reintroduce everyone to the idea of what we're about as a church. And so here's what I want you to get this morning. If you're taking notes, I'd love for you to write this down. And especially if you're new to life here at Grace Fellowship, I want you to know this. Jesus has called us to follow him into a life of making disciples. That's the call of Jesus for us, to come into a place where we're following him and making disciples. And so when we think about that, in the invitation that we saw with Peter and Andrew, we find the call of Jesus to come into this. But everything we do as a church is designed to help us make more and better followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus. That's what we're all about. And so the things that we do, we want to make sure we understand that what Jesus's movement started is predicated on us fulfilling that vision and that mission. Go make disciples. And so we see this going back to this call in Matthew 4:19, the call of Peter and Andrew, "Come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Here's our definition of a disciple that we get from that. Again, if you're taking notes, just write this down. Three things that we pull out of this that kind of go into our definition of being a disciple and wanting to make disciples. Disciples of Jesus follow Jesus. We're being changed by Jesus, and we're on mission with Jesus. So let me give you those three things again and kind of talk about this just a little bit. A follower of Jesus or a disciple of Jesus is someone who's following him. He invites Peter and Andrew, says, "Come follow me. Come be in proximity. Come be around me. See what I'm about. Do what I do. Come follow me." And then he says, "I will make you something." He's going to have this change. And he says, a disciple of Jesus is being changed. He goes, "I'm not going to leave you as fishers of fish. I'm going to change you. I'm going to make you into something." And then he gives them the mission. He goes, "Here's what it means to be on mission with Jesus. I'm going to make you fishers of men. I want you to leave the nets that go out into the Sea of Galilee, and I want you to come with me and cast a net that's going to help you catch men and women for my kingdom." And so that's the disciple call. That's the definition that we use of being a disciple. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about the method that Jesus uses to make disciples and how that we put those things into practice in our life. And here's what I want you to know this morning. The call to make disciples of Jesus is for every one of us. This is not just something that Jesus meant for his disciples who would become the apostles. It's not just something that's meant for missionaries who go to foreign places overseas. It's not something that's relegated to pastors and church staff. He goes, when Jesus calls us to be disciples of his, it's something that is for every single one of us. We're all called to be disciples of Jesus. In fact, the last command Jesus left to us as he ascended to heaven was found in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. This should be on the screen for you to read along with me. It says this, "Then Jesus came to them." This is after he died and came back to life. "Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age.'" Now, let me drop a big truth bomb on you this morning, and something that I think we need to really understand and have a grasp about. We are commanded to go and make disciples. If we choose to ignore that command, we're living in disobedience and in sin and in open rebellion against God. We are not given an ultimatum of going, well, maybe if you feel like it, if you want to, this can be something that's part of your Christian life, go make disciples. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go." You're under the authority of Christ. And he's called us, commanded us, commissioned us to go make disciples. And if we're not willing to do that, we're living in sin against God. And so what we've seen in life, too many Christians have relegated this command to just become an optional part of their life. Hey, yeah, I found a life in Christ that offers me salvation. I believe and I have assurance of my faith that I'm not gonna go to hell when I die, but I don't really wanna be engaged in the mission part of Jesus. I'll follow him as far as attending church and being in ministries and those kinds of things, but I don't really have any interest in making disciples. This isn't an optional thing for us. This is a command for us. Disciple making is not just sharing our faith and making converts. He says, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then after they've been baptized, what's the next thing Jesus says? Teach them to obey all that I've commanded. Discipleship is not something that's limited to someone becoming a Christian and being baptized. That's not the finish line of the Christian faith. That's the starting blocks. That's the place where we say, I've entered into a faith relationship with Jesus. I've been baptized and brought into his family. Now I want to learn to obey him and be able to make disciples of others, going throughout the world and telling people about the goodness of Jesus. But unfortunately, in the American church especially, somehow we've made that idea that once someone's converted and joins a church, that's all they really need to do. Be a good Christian, sit in worship services, maybe engage in ministry every now and then, but beyond that, there's nothing. And unfortunately, that's become the ending point of most people's spiritual growth and spiritual faith. As I got saved, I got baptized, and I became a continuing member of a church. There's more for us. And I want you to know that there's more for us. In fact, one of the conversations that I have really frequently with people when they begin visiting our church or attending our church is that they'll say, man, I have been a Christian my whole life. A lot of them will say that. I've gone to church almost all of my life. I've been around Christianity my whole life. I've never had anyone tell me that part of the Christian experience is being a disciple who makes disciples. I thought being a Christian meant finding a church to attend, having a faith in Jesus that saves me, and being a part of a local church. That's only a part of it. We are called by Jesus to go make disciples. And so when we tell people, you have something else to be a part of, there is a game to be involved in. In sports terminology, we would say too many of us have been on the team, but we've just been watching the game from the sideline. We've not been out on the field making a difference and helping our team move the ball forward. We've just been standing watching. We're on the team, but we're not doing anything that's advancing the kingdom cause. And church, I want you to hear from me this morning that part of being a disciple who makes disciples is learning to get in the game. And that's exactly what I want us to share this morning. When we see Jesus begin making disciples, we're going to talk about his strategy to do that. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at four words that give us his strategy. We would call it the SCMD method, or strategy of making disciples. This is Jesus's method. And so we're going to look at each of those four letters, starting this morning with the S, about how did Jesus go about making disciples and what do we do for that. So if you will, take a look at Mark chapter 3, verses 13 through 15 with me. And here's where we see Jesus calling the 12 to come to him. He says this: Jesus went up on a mountainside and he called to him those that he wanted. That sounds like the follow me part. And they came to him. And then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Now, in these verses, we see a big jump that happens from the time that Jesus calls his disciples to right into the ministry flow of things. But what Mark's doing is he's giving us the big picture all at once. It doesn't happen that way all at once. They don't join Jesus and become his followers, and then he immediately sends them out to preach and drive out demons. There are things they need to know from him and learn from him before they're able to go out and do the life of a disciple in ministry. But he says they are called to him, and then he sends them out. But in between there is what we find in the rest of the Gospels. The things that Jesus does to instruct his disciples, to invest in them, to pour into them, and to share his life with them. In fact, that's what we're going to see as the first letter or the first word about the method Jesus uses to make disciples. And it's on your notes if you're following along with us. Making disciples happens as followers of Jesus share his message and share his methods. And so Jesus immediately begins to share some things with those that he calls. Before he sends them out to do ministry, we find in the other sections of the gospel that he shares some things. He shares his life with them. He shares truth with them. He talks to them about his Father and about scripture, and he shares truths. A lot of times he does that through stories that he tells. And then he'll share disciplines and habits, things that they need to know how to do in order to stay connected and to abide in him as they go into their life following him as a disciple. And so Jesus shares. And so what we would say then is, what is it that we're supposed to share? What is the thing that sharing looks like in our lives as disciples who are learning to make disciples? To be a disciple and to make disciple, I want to share some things with others to help them in their spiritual journey and in their pursuit of Jesus. So what does that look like? Well, let's talk about it from two different perspectives. Number one, the perspective of someone that you're sharing with who's not a believer in Jesus. And discipleship happens before someone even becomes a follower. Discipleship takes place when you start sharing your life with a non-believer, with someone who's not a follower of Jesus, that you just open your life up to them. You share your life. You want them to be in relationship with you, to see the goodness of God that's been born in you that you want them to know about. And then you want to share the gospel. You want to share the truth of who Jesus is, his love, his mercy, his grace, his justice. And so as we interact with non-believers in a discipling relationship, the first thing we want to do is share. Share your life and share the gospel, share the truth. And then we leave it to the Holy Spirit to change people's lives and to bring them into relationship with Jesus. Here's the second group of people we want to look at. It's those who are already followers of Jesus, but maybe they've never really grown beyond kind of an infancy stage. They know Jesus, but they've not really learned how to be a disciple who makes disciples. What do we share with them? Well, again, we want to share our lives. All of discipleship happens in relationship. You can't do discipleship without relationship. You can't make disciples from a distance. And so we want to be in relationship. We want to share our lives. We want people who are following Jesus to be around us to see how we follow Jesus. Paul writes later in the New Testament, "You follow my example as I follow Christ." So, disciple of Jesus, as you're following Christ, invite others in to watch you. Maybe it's your kids, it's your spouse, it's a coworker, it's a neighbor. No matter what that is, invite somebody in to just be with you. Then share truth with them. Share with them the things they don't know. Share with them how to pray. Share with them how to read God's word. Share with them truths about certain things that you would go, hey, because you're probably, you don't know this about the Bible, you haven't spent a lot of time reading the Bible, there are things you're doing in your life, even as a follower of Jesus, that go against what he's called us to do. Let me share truth with you. This is what the Word of God says. This is a relationship you're in that's an inappropriate, improper relationship. Here's how the Bible talks about that and what you can do as a next step to make it right and make it better. Whatever it may be, share truth with them. And then share disciplines or habits that they need to know. They need to know how to read the Bible for themselves. They need to know how to pray. They need to know and understand what spiritual warfare is and how to stand against it. Believers in Jesus have habits and disciplines, meditation, where we just learn to listen to Jesus and think on his goodness and let it transform our hearts and our souls and our minds. And so there are disciplines or habits that you can share. And so that's what we need to be about. As we disciple others, especially those who are less mature in their faith, we need to focus on sharing our life, sharing truth, sharing habits and disciplines with them. So think about who's in your life and where you are in your spiritual journey. You maybe either are someone who needs to be sharing these things with someone else, or you're someone who needs to have this shared with you. You need to be in a relationship with someone who will invest in you and pour into you. And so we're going to talk in just a few minutes about how we do that and go about that in our church. But I want you to know this. Jesus spent huge amounts of time with his disciples. This wasn't just an every other kind of week sort of thing, or when we bump into each other, it's unintentional. He spent lots of time. Jesus spent time walking from place to place with his disciples. He spent time around campfires with them. He spent time with them in the synagogue. He shared meals with them. Everything that they did together. They would go on long trips together. And so Jesus shared his life. And as he did that, he would teach them things. There were so many things that Jesus would teach the crowds, and they would be difficult things to understand. In fact, the next series we're going to be doing is called Parables. After this 4 weeks, we're going to jump into a series called Parables. Jesus often taught in parables that were confusing to the crowds as they listened. And in fact, a lot of his teachings were confusing to the disciples. And they would come to him after the crowds left and go, hey, we didn't quite get that. Could you maybe fill us in a little bit on what you were talking about back there? And Jesus would sit down with them and he would just explain the parables. So he would teach them. But it was always in a shared time. There was a lot of investment that Jesus makes in his disciples. He taught and modeled for them how to pray, how to fast, how to experience spiritual disciplines that they would need to know for themselves once he was gone. Because Jesus was going to leave and go back to heaven with his Father. And the disciples were going to be here fulfilling his mission and his vision and his calling. So Jesus shared his life. He shared truth. He shared habits, he shared disciplines, spiritual disciplines. Now let's talk about our strategy to accomplish making disciples in our church. And again, if you're kind of newer to Grace Fellowship and we've not been able to do life groups like we've wanted to over the last several months, it's been the summertime and then we were in a COVID season and we've just not been able to do them the way that we normally would like to. But what you're gonna hear today is that we're getting ready to launch life groups again for the fall semester. And this is really the heart of how discipleship is done in our church. Because it's in these groups that you come into relationship with other people, that you sit around the Word of God together, that you share life, you share truth, you talk about things, you build relationships, you work on disciplines and habits that will help you grow in your spiritual life. And so we do this through our life groups. And all of our life groups are led by incredible life group leaders. And here's what I love about this. Our life group leaders are not just people who would say, oh yeah, I mean, I enjoy leading a discussion, or I've got the time on my hands to be a part of a life group and give some leadership to it. Our life group leaders are disciple makers. They're people that have been through training with us. They're people that have been discipled themselves. They've been apprentices of life group leaders and have launched life groups. And we've been in places with these men and women to help them become disciple makers. And so when you go into a life group, you're going to find four different attributes of any life group in our church. The first is that it's going to have a biblical foundation. Everything that we're going to do is going to center around the truth of God's word. Then there's going to be a relational environment. Because again, you can't make disciples outside of relationship. Our life groups seek to be and strive to be very relational in nature. We want to spend life doing things with each other. We want to be around one another. We want to have fun together. It's relational in nature. Then the third thing is that there's an intentional leader in all of our groups. That life group leader and their apprentice, they're going to be relationally engaged, biblically minded, but intentional about how they're looking at every single person in the group and asking questions about where are they spiritually and what do they need to take another step spiritually? And how do I or someone else in the group help them accomplish that? There's an intentional leader. And then the fourth and the final thing that's a part of this is that every one of our groups is meant to be a reproducible process or to have a reproducible process. We want groups to eventually branch and multiply. We want to see leaders raised up in groups who can spread out and take others to disciple in their groups so that we can have more places for more people to get engaged and involved. If we just look around and go, well, we've always got the same 5 or 6 or 8 life groups, but our church is continuing to grow, where do we put all these people in life groups? We need people to have the mentality. We have life group leaders who have the mentality that as we raise up a group, we raise up leaders, and the goal of our group, even though we love spending time together, being with each other, there's incredible relationships that are formed, but the mentality is for us to make more and better disciples. We have to be willing to look beyond ourselves and branch our groups and send out leaders to start new works and new life groups that have the opportunity to invite more people in to be discipled. That's the goal of everything that we do. And that's the environment we want to put people in. And so this morning, we would say that the second thing on top of that is that once you're in a life group, that the next step for you to be is to say, look around your group and find the 1 or 2 or 3 people that you might could go a step further with and say, hey, beyond our life group, why don't we get together for breakfast once a week? Or why don't we meet on Thursday nights together? And let's do some Bible study or discipleship, just the 2 of us, the 3 of us, the 4 of us. And so we love the idea that in our congregation, we come together to worship. But we would say that life change, more often than not, doesn't happen in these rows. Life change happens in the circles that you sit in life group. That God works through those times of intimacy around his word, sharing life together, sharing truth together, that we help one another grow and mature as followers of Jesus. And then from that section and space that we enter into, that we would find 1 or 2 or 3 other people to say, hey, could we go a little bit deeper just together, an even smaller group? Because the more focused down this gets, the more intimate it becomes. Jesus did this with his 12. He had 12 that followed him everywhere that he went. But out of those 12, he had Peter, James, and John, his 3, his inner circle, that he would take beyond the group and he would spend additional time with them to raise them up to be leaders for the church. And so that's what we want to see happening. It's important to be part of this large group church gathering and to take place in corporate worship, but we really want to help people move into authentic relationships. And so today, as we end our service time, there's going to be a couple of things that we were going to ask you to do. If we had been in the building today, we were going to be sending people out to sign up for life groups, to meet our life group leaders, to engage in conversation with people, and to find your place to connect and get engaged. We're obviously not here, and so we're going to have a different way for you to do that Andy's going to be telling you more about in just a few minutes. But before we get to that, I want to just challenge you with 2 things as I close this morning. Number 1 is this. If you're not already in one of our life groups and you're kind of asking that question, should I be? Let me just go ahead and give you the answer. Yes, you should. You should take whatever step is necessary to jump into a life group where you're in relationship with other people, being discipled and learning to make disciples. It's not even something you have to pray about. I hear a lot of people sometimes when we approach them about things to go, well, let me pray about that and get back to you. This isn't even one of those kinds of things. This is just like there's an opportunity. You should make time, get engaged in a life group. Find your way into this next level relationship. So number 1 challenge for our church family is look at your schedule, find where you can drop something if you're too busy for life group or you've convinced yourself that you're too busy for that, and find your way into one of our groups this fall. Here's the second challenge that I want to leave you with. Some of you are in a place in your spiritual life where you should no longer just be participating in a life group. You should be leading one. You're a disciple who knows how to make disciples. You might still need some coaching and training. That's why our staff is here. We want to walk with you through that journey. None of us do this perfectly. None of us, myself, Andy, none of our staff included, would ever say, we've got this all figured out. We make disciples perfectly. Here's why that's not true. We're not Jesus, all right? And you're not either. So we coach one another. We train one another. But there are many of you in our church who are in a place where you could say, I've been walking with Jesus for a long time. I know these things, but I've never been challenged to invest in others this way. And it's time in your season of life to jump out of being in a life group and jump into leading a life group. And if the Spirit of God challenges you in that today, we would love to have a conversation with you. Andy and I would like to talk with you and just see what it might look like for you to find your way into maybe being an apprentice at first and then launching a group. Or maybe you're ready just to launch something and we can help you get a start in that. But it's time, church, for us to take some steps forward as we move into this fall semester. Granted, we have no way of predicting what this fall semester is going to hold. Like everything else in life and like this very morning, we're holding everything with open hands and we're saying, God, if you allow, we'll meet together, we'll do these certain things, but there may be challenges that we have to overcome this semester again. We're willing to jump through those things with you and to walk through all of that with you. But let's do it together, church. Let's be disciples who know how to make disciples. And so I just want to lead us to pray this morning as we close. And then Andy's going to come up and walk us through some things and how you can learn today to get engaged in signing up for a group or in communicating with us about leading a group. And then you're going to hear a story or an interview from two of our life group leaders. And you're going to hear their story about what God's been doing in their life.
Thanks so much for checking out our message today. We hope you are challenged and blessed by it. We want to invite you to come and worship with us in person if you live in the Tri-Cities area. We meet on Sunday mornings at 9 and 10:45 a.m. at One Fellowship Point in Kingsport, Tennessee. You can also get more information about us from our website or our mobile app. Have a great day.